So now if you turn to 1 Corinthians, I think it's the fourth chapter. And it was first and second verse. And last week when the apostle was teaching, the Holy Spirit, and he started talking about money cometh, and the Holy Spirit helped me understand clearer the purpose of money cometh. What money cometh is about. And a lot of people think that money cometh is just a chant that they can use to make money to come to them. But it's not. Let me read something to you. Three things has happened in our lives, whether you know it or not, and I'm about to let you know what happened in our lives. Number one, Jesus' sacrifice restored our position in prosperity.
Yes, sir.
We like to say he restored our righteousness, but prosperity is a part of our righteousness. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 8th verse, a very familiar scripture, it says Jesus, who knew no poverty, he took poverty in our place. He didn't know anything about being poor, right? But he took poverty in our place. That's basically what 2 Corinthians 8:9 is saying. So Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, a part of that has something to do with our prosperity, all right? Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. These scriptures you know already. So Christ, when he died, got up with all power in his hands. He got up with prosperity in his hands, all right? Now, I know that you know these things, and I'm repeating these things to you because I want you to understand where we're going. When Jesus died on the cross, you were put back in Eden before the fruit was eaten. Okay? You were put back in a place where God intended for you to be. So now, here we are with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We're put back in a place where Adam and Eve were. You and I are put back in that place before the fruit was eaten. So that means, listen to me very clearly. This is why sometimes it's so hard for somebody to, it's so hard for us to sometimes shift into the supernatural, because we think we know so much. But you got to remember, Adam and Eve were in the garden before they ate the fruit with, watch this, without knowledge of how they're supposed to pursue the world. So sometimes we're in a position where we're trying to pursue things in our lives, pursue things that we want to happen in our lives from our knowledge.
Yeah.
All right. So Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection put us back in a position that Adam and Eve was before they ate the fruit, or before they committed the first sin against God. Okay. Because of that, you must allow God and his Spirit to drive you into the wilderness. If you remember in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, in the 2nd verse, it says God said he took them to the wilderness so that he can prove them. We're going to read it later on. To see what was in their hearts. Now you got to remember now, he drove them into the wilderness rich, wealthy. That's them leaving Egypt. They left Egypt wealthy and was driven into the wilderness so he can see what was in their hearts. All right. When Jesus was born in the earth, Jesus gave an example to us of what our life is like and what it's supposed to be like. When he was born, Jesus had done anything at all, but money was looking for him. When you got born again, money immediately began to look for you. All right? I'm still dealing with the Holy Spirit. Watch this now. Watch how this process works. Watch. Money cometh. Listen what money cometh is. Money cometh is the prophetic announcement and call to awaken you to the breaking of the stronghold of the enemy over your soul concerning your prosperity. I'm going to say that again. Money cometh is the prophetic announcement and call to awaken you to the breaking of the stronghold of the enemy over your soul concerning your prosperity. 2 Chronicles 20:20, turn there. It's King Jehoshaphat leading the children of Israel. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and saying, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his, so shall ye prosper." Money cometh is a prophetic announcement and call to awaken you to the breaking of the stronghold of the enemy over your soul, over your mind, concerning prosperity. Money cometh is letting you know that you're back in your former position. It is a call to wake you up. Sometimes we could be like Peter in Acts, the 12th chapter. Peter had been doing things for God, got arrested, was in the jail cell, in between two guards. He thinking that's his lot. So he became so comfortable, he went to sleep. And the angel that came to deliver him had to smote him to wake him up. Money cometh is waking you up. So you can realize, because see, even though money can be coming towards you, if you don't realize that it's supposed to be coming to you or what to do when it comes to you, then you'll be as if it's not there or that it doesn't exist or this is my lot. I'm doing everything God asked me to do, but this is just my lot. No, money cometh is a wake-up call for you to realize what God has for you. All right. Isaiah 10:27, turn now. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. See, money cometh carries an anointing with it that breaks the stronghold the enemy, because that's all he has. Because when Jesus, watch this, when Jesus got up out of the grave, he got it with all power in his hands. So anything that's being held back from you is being held back from you because of your blindness put on by the enemy. Luke 4:18. These are all familiar scriptures. But I want to show you how important the Holy Spirit is in helping us navigate these scriptures and navigate this walk that we have to walk on. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Now, a comforter is not needed unless comfort is needed. So if a comforter is here, if the Holy Spirit is our comforter, he is to provide help and aid and to what a comforter provides, comfort. That means we're going to face some situations that's going to be uncomfortable. So if we don't include the Holy Spirit in our uncomfortable situations, there will be no comfort. Amen. Luke 4:18. Watch this. Let me get there real quick. Luke 4:18. Very familiar scripture. The Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus talking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He has anointed me. So money cometh again, carries an anointing. Now notice what this anointing, the purpose of the anointing to do. The anointing remove burdens and destroy yokes. The anointing on money cometh is to break the yokes and destroy any burden in your soul concerning your finances. So it's not just a chant to get money to come to you. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's just not a chant for you to try to get money to come to you, because money is already on his feet heading your direction. It was when you got booked. Jesus was a prototypical Christian. He's the first one. So when Jesus was born, for those of you who don't maybe talk about watching, when Jesus was born, they had people looking for him, bringing him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were valuable spices, and then you know what gold is, right? Had people, and it wasn't just three. See, we let the world system tell us what we limited to. It wasn't three kings. It was three types of gifts. So nobody knows how much was brought. Now, mind you, now Jesus is the prototypical Christian. He's the first one. He's the example. As soon as he was born, wealth started looking for him. We're in that same position. As soon as you were born again, wealth was headed in your direction. Now you have to let the Holy Spirit train you to break your stronghold that you have on yourself. Jesus done broke the stronghold that Satan had on your soul. Right. See, that's what money cometh is. When you hear the words money cometh, it wakes something up on the inside of you to realize there's more that God wants me to have. It hits you. It smokes you like the angel smoked Peter. Wake you up out of that stupor. Don't get comfortable in your current situation. I don't care how much you have. See, this thing is levels. It's levels to this. Wherever you are, there's more God wants you to have. You have to let the Holy Spirit train you. Listen to that very carefully. Train you to break the strongholds that you have on yourself. 1 Corinthians 4th chapter. Now remember, I'm saying, yeah, money is always coming to you. I've proven it. Jesus, who's the prototypical Christian, the first one, when he was born into this natural world, money started looking for him. Wealth started looking for him. When you got born again, the same thing began to happen to you. I know you, if that's, where is that? That's like, where is that? If that's the case, where is that? Okay, we about to find it. Now remember now, you have to let the Holy Spirit train you on how to break the strongholds that you have on yourself. First Corinthians, the 4th chapter. First Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards or managers or somebody that's controlling something that a man be found faithful. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it says, watch this. 1 Corinthians 4, let me get to it. 1 Corinthians 4. It says, moreover, it is essential, required of stewards, that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. It's required that I prove myself worthy of trust. Luke 16. See, the money is always coming to you. Wealth is always coming your direction. Some of y'all still looking at me like, wealth is always coming to you. Always coming to you. You just read it says, moreover, it's required that a steward be found faithful. Watch this, Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 10. Now remember now, we just, in the Amplified Bible, matter of fact, that Greek word I think is called pistos. If you look that word up, pistos, in the Greek, it means to be trustworthy, you can be relied on, you're steadfast, right? Look at Luke 16, verse 10. He says, he that is faithful, pistos, in that which is least, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. All right. So here we are. That's, matter of fact, that's Jesus talking, right? So that's Jesus talking. And Jesus said, if you're not trustworthy over the least, I know you now be trustworthy over the much. Wealth is always headed in your direction. Wealth is always headed in your direction. You know, in learning, in watching Layla progress through softball, I come from baseball. Baseball is a little different than softball. Some of the same rules, some of the same objectives, but the strategy is a little different. And what I found out about softball is home runs are nice. They're wonderful. And they're great. But they're not as effective as bunts in certain instances. Bunt is when you just lay the ball down right in front of the catcher or front of the pitcher. Sometimes a single, double, or triple, positioning. And so depends on who on base and where they at. The coach may have Layla, who's a pretty solid hitter, and could hit a single or a double, or she could put the bat on the ball. What he'll come in, if we got a run on third base, what he'll do is he'll come in and tell her with one out, you have one out, run on third, he'll give a signal. And I've watched him long enough to pick up the signal. He'll give a signal to bunt and do what's called a squeeze. Softball is baseball. And so what happens is if she's not in the right mindset about the agenda of the team and not about her, and she's not about herself. See, a lot of us want to hit a home run at wealth because we're already trying to spend money. So we want to hit the home run so we can get the max amount so we can spend what we want to spend. So it's not really me being a steward of what God has put me over. It's about money coming so I can spend on what I want to spend it on. So therefore, we ignore, Apostle said it last week, it was so powerful. We ignore certain prosperity demonstrations in our lives. We have to let the Holy Spirit train us to break the strongholds that we have on ourselves. Because wealth is always coming towards us. Wealth is always coming to us. But we got to let the Holy Spirit help us break the strongholds that we have on ourselves. Are you seeing this? So if I'm not trustworthy in the least, trustworthy to who? Trustworthy to me or trustworthy to God? Trustworthy. So now Jesus is saying, if I'm trustworthy towards God in the least, then God knows I can be trustworthy with the much. Because I have to let the Holy Spirit drive me into the wilderness. Like he drove the children of Israel into the wilderness, because he drove them into the wilderness wealthy, and he took care of what they needed. He took care of their shoes. He took care of their clothes. Is this making sense? So we have to let the Holy Spirit train us to break the strongholds that we have on ourselves. Moreover, it's required that a steward be found faithful. If God gonna trust me to manage something, I gotta be faithful, full of faith, full of his assignment, what he wants. See, a lot of times we're trying to dictate and manage our seed. Now watch this, here's one about to help you. There are three things that you have to manage before you ever get to the seed. Turn to Genesis, the second chapter. Because all these, if you don't manage these three things, you won't manage the seed. And if you can't manage the seed, you sure can't manage no harvest. And so when God trying to get us to bunt, we won't swing for the fences. When God wants to hit a double, we trying to swing for the fences. All right, you ready? Genesis, the second chapter. Remember, now money cometh is a prophetic announcement. A prophetic announcement always has to be made so the earth can know that we understand our rightful position. Anytime God wants to do something significant in the earth, he makes a prophetic announcement. Amen. With Nehemiah, he made a prophetic announcement that put everybody on notice what's about to happen. And it's also a wake-up call to us that have been sleeping or have become comfortable with our current surroundings. Genesis, the second chapter. First thing you're going to have to learn how to manage is your appetite for consumption. Everything is for sale. Everything is for sale. Commercials are designed to entice you to consume. Now, this might not seem like it's too deep, but the prosperity demonstrations come if you don't control your appetite for consumption. Prosperity demonstrations to come if you can't control your appetite for consumption. Genesis, the second chapter. Let me get there. Watch this. Eve. Now, when I talk about Eve, women, don't get mad at me, because this is not a woman thing or a man thing. It's a human thing. Okay, it's a human thing. All right, because my 4 points, I'm going to go through all of them. You're going to see it's a human thing. Couldn't control the appetite. Knowing what God had said, couldn't control the appetite. Not only did she couldn't control her appetite, Adam couldn't control his. So it's a human thing. It's not a male or female thing, it's a human thing. You mustn't control your appetite for consumption. Listen to this statement. You can't have everything, but you can have everything you want. One of the greatest lessons I learned was about maybe 15 years ago. We used to own cattle. And at the time, I had just gotten a BMW 750. And I had to go to the stockyard in Baton Rouge. And I was transacting some business in another place in Baton Rouge, and I had to bring the guy who was buying cows for her to bring him a check. And so I drove my BMW to the stockyard, right? And this is over $100,000 car. Nobody turned their head and looked at it, wasn't impressed at all. I had to go back the next week. The next week, I was driving a dually, Ford F-350, dually, right? When I pull up, I could hardly get in the parking lot. People looking, coming, man, where you got that truck from? How much that truck cost? I was in a BMW the week before. The lesson I learned was you better get what you like, because different people like different things. So if you buying something trying to impress somebody, I hope I'm here. This sounds like it's simple, but a lot of times we do these things and don't realize we're doing these things. And wealth is coming to us all the time. It's just making sense. So we have to help. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us curb our consumption. Is this making sense? I'm doing this for a reason. Saying it for help us curb our consumption. Number two. You must manage your relationships. You must manage your relationships. In Genesis, the third chapter, and the sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She didn't control her appetite, right? And gave also unto her husband, he with her, and he did eat. He couldn't control his appetite. He couldn't control his appetite because he couldn't manage his relationship. Jesus is the second Adam, right? That means he was the first Adam. That means he had some redeeming qualities about him. Meaning that if he'd have managed his relationship, what it means to manage a relationship? You can do what you're going to do, but I'm going to follow God. If he'd have done that, I believe some redeeming qualities would have happened in that whole situation. So you must learn to manage your relationships. Anybody, number one, anybody who is a who condemns prosperity, get away from them. I don't tolerate nobody around me that condemns prosperity at all. You can't hang around me. We're not talking. We can't be friends. We cannot. Because I don't need you talking to me out of going somewhere that I know God has planned for me to go. Just because you don't want to go don't mean I ain't got to go. You must connect to someone carrying the grace of God like Abraham carried. Why? Because of Genesis 12 and 3. Genesis 12 and 3, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless those that bless you. He told Abraham, I'm making you a blessing. And I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. Meaning, those, Abraham, I've called you to do something. Everybody who helped you do it, God said, I'm going to be responsible for causing them to prosper. That's fixed for a lot of us. We found our person. Right? So the hardest part has been solved for a lot of us. Now we got to start distancing ourselves from people who talk poverty. You have to manage your relationships. You can't be hanging around buzzards talking about your eagle. You can't be hanging around a chicken talking about your eagle. That's on you. That you got to manage that. God not going to manage that. You got to manage that. God is not, God, watch this. God can only suggest for you not to buy something. You got to decide to follow his orders. Do you know the problem with debt? It's not the use of debt. It's the improper use. You know what debt really says? Debt really telling you, debt makes it harder for you to recognize seed. When you got that debt hounding you and a prosperity demonstration happens, yeah. It's hard for you to say, God, what is, for you to stop, pause, and your patience possess your soul and say, God, what is prosperity demonstration for? What happened? What am I to do with this? When you got debt in this, you're talking about, you know what it's for. So there's nothing wrong with debt. It's the improper use of it. Here's a rule I follow. If this is going to stop me from giving at my current level, I don't need to buy this on no debt. Because my current level of giving has got me to where I am now. So if I decrease my current level of living, that means I'm going to decrease. Money is always coming in your direction. Money cometh. Jesus proved that. As a born-again Christian, money is always heading in your direction. The question is, when it get there, are we managing it right? There are some harvests that are waiting on us that God hadn't released yet. Because God will not give us a temptation that we cannot withstand. So if I can't show God I'm trustworthy with this, then for him to give me more simply means he set me up for failure. You must rid yourself of anyone that condemns prosperity, managing relationships now, that condemns prosperity, and more importantly, from anyone that condemns God's process of prosperity. Anybody who talks against seed time and harvest can get out of my face. And you can't, listen, you cannot be even killed with this. You cannot be lax with this. When somebody talks against prosperity, they're talking against you prospering. When somebody talks against seed time and harvest, they're talking against the very system that's causing you to prosper. You cannot tolerate it. You have to manage relationships. Oh, this is a good one. You must read or distance yourself from friends and family that are competitive. You cannot hang around people who are competitive. Because if you hang around somebody who's competitive, you ain't gonna be able to do number one, manage number one, which is your appetite for consumption. Because if they get around you and start talking about all they have and trying to compare their stuff to yours, it's going to get you upset. You're going to want to make sure they ain't doing better than me. Now they got you in a competitive race, got you buying stuff that you ain't like. So I don't hang around somebody who's competitive, who always talking about what they got, always talking about what they gonna do, always talking about this, always talking about that. And you can tell when somebody is being competitive or when they just celebrate or when they want you to celebrate with them. See, I don't mind celebrating with somebody, but I don't want you telling me what you got to play me like you better than me. I can't hang around with you because you're gonna make a mess up my seed. Because I'm going to show you. See, ain't that our attitude? So I don't hang around competitive people. I don't get in competitive conversations. When somebody go to talk about all they have and I recognize this competitiveness, I'm easing on out the conversation. Is this making sense? You have to manage your relationship. Now, that's not easy. You know, one of the things, you got certain people, certain friends or family I'm going to hang around. Would you believe it or not? We don't even talk about Jesus. If I know it's going to cause friction. I'm talking about Christian family members. Some of them I don't talk about Jesus with. Because it could cause friction. They going to heaven. Now, if I got one of my family that's not born again, yeah, I'm going to cause some friction. Because you need to know Jesus. But if it's a family that knows Jesus, and now we started to have philosophical debate on Revelation, I'm not about to sit down. Man, you can stay broke if you want to. I don't care. You have to manage your relationship with your children. Because your children will make you go broke. The children will make you mismanage seed. See, money is always headed in your. The children of Israel, the 25th chapter of Matthew's. Turn there, the 25th chapter of Matthew's. We always go to the second part of that chapter. We always go to the second part of that chapter and talk about the talents. 5, 2, and 1. But we don't ever deal with them virgins. Them virgins was talking about management. They didn't manage properly. The 5 foolish virgins didn't manage properly what they had. And missed out on a moment with God. That's management. They didn't manage properly what they had. The 5 wives had managed properly. They had all they needed. Money wasn't a problem. It was management. Second Corinthians. And I'm going to get to the third one in a minute. Second Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Here's what we need the Holy Ghost to help us manage these things. We need the Holy Spirit to help us manage our consumption. We need the Holy Spirit to help us manage our relationships. You need the Holy Spirit need to nudge you and say, hey, this person trying to be competitive with you. This person, you don't need too much discernment when somebody talks against prosperity. You don't need too much discernment for that. You can tell somebody to talk against prosperity. We need the Holy Spirit to help us manage these things. Watch this in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is the 9th chapter. Verse 10. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's in chronological order. Every prosperity demonstration you get, you need to pause and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what am I to do with this? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help you. He's a comforter. He's going to help you recognize what is seed. Now, mind you now, he said he'll give seed to a sower, right? There are opportunities that come when it's time for you to sow and we don't have it. If that's the case, watch this, if that's the case, and God tell us do something, God tell us sow this, and we don't have it. Well, then somebody's called on a carpet. Can I be real with you? Somebody, it's happened to me. Somebody's been called on a carpet. Either God is not a faithful God and that he's asking you something to do something that you're not prepared to do, or he prepared you to do it. See, because money is always coming towards you. Money always coming towards you. Money always coming to you. Money cometh is a continual process of money coming in your direction. But are we going to let the Holy Spirit help us navigate? Help us determine what is seed. What is bread for our food? We have to let the Holy Spirit determine that. Help us determine that. So that when God comes, because see now, remember now, if I'm not faithful in the least, full of faith, that means that when God comes looking for something, I should be prepared. When God touched my heart and said, hey, I need you to do this, I should be prepared, because that means God ain't come and talk to me and tell me to do something for which he had not already prepared me to do. Because that means God is unfaithful. So in order for that to happen, I have to manage my consumption. God knows what you have need of even before you ask him. God has to be the center. When everybody say God, I put God first, I put God first. No, God needs to be the center. And everything else revolves around him. That's called harmony. Hebrew, the 10th chapter. 36th verse. Hebrews 10, chapter 36, verse. It says, for ye have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Not before, but after. It says, for ye have need of patience. Now stop equating patience to a long time. Patience just simply meaning you trust in the system. Let me rephrase it. Not the system of the world, you trust in God's system. That's what patience simply means. It don't mean you waiting a long time. So don't get that in your mind that it's going to take a long time for the God to get to me what I know is destiny. No, that's not. You just got to manage right now what you got. So if you don't manage what you have now, if I don't manage my consumption, if I don't manage my relationship, number three, I have to manage my obedience. Yes. The Bible says in Isaiah 1 and 18, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I have to manage my obedience. Give me an example of managing obedience. Watch this. I'm going to give you an example of consumption, relationships, and obedience. Do you realize that God, when God told Moses, tell the children of Israel to kill the firstborn calf, take the blood, put it on a doorpost, consume it, don't leave nothing for in the morning. Have anybody ever thought about they had to have a calf? That's number one. Number two, they're in slavery. Slaves don't own nothing. So that means they had to be managing something to where they can have access to be able to obey. And that one act of obedience, the next morning, one act of obedience caused them to be able to walk out of Egypt. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God. The children of Israel with King Jehoshaphat and Judah. One act of obedience. One act of obedience. They were 3 days. One act, managing your obedience. So now, if I can't, watch this now. If I don't manage my consumption, if I don't manage my relationships, if I don't manage my obedience, it's going to be very hard for me to even manage my seed. If I don't manage my obedience, what do I mean by manage my obedience? Am I going to trust the world system or trust God's system? When God asks me to do something, asks me to give something, asks me to sow something, asks me to do something with this seed, what am I going to do? Am I going to be like Joshua? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, I have to manage. And see, watch this. So 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse, gives us the harmony. Everything working together. It says God gives seed to a sower. Sower meaning somebody whose mind made up, I'm going to be faithful for what I have. While I'm being faithful with what I have, God is also giving me bread for my food. Then God comes in and multiplies the seed sown. So therefore, if I get the harmony right, I can create a rhythm. And I can make music. My musicians know what I'm talking about, right? If I can get the harmony right, that's just sounds being put together that'll work. And I put them sounds together over and over and over and over. I create a rhythm. So inside this harmony of God giving me seed, I'm recognized, I'm letting the Holy Spirit recognize what the seed is. That means I'm managing my consumption. I'm managing my relationships. I'm managing my obedience, what allows me to manage my seed. So when a prosperity demonstration happens, it's now me going to God and say, God, you did this. What to do with it? Guess what? And if I don't have no instructions, just put it up. My dad, he used to tell me in high school, I get some money. He said, boy, that money burning you, ain't it? It burning a hole in your pocket, ain't it? Because I want to get some money, I won't spend it. I'm going to get some money to spend it. See, if you don't have no instructions, put it up. And watch this. What God is training you to do is to hear his voice. Give you an example. I'm gonna give you. Flood in 2016, my house got flooded. And so we was remodeling my house. And so my wife wanted some furniture, the furniture from the certain store. And so I went and looked at it, and she started picking stuff out. And I told her, okay, if that's what you want, that's no problem. So I said, let me think about it. Because I like to think. I'm managing, right? I'm not at that point in my life where I can just do spur of the moment. I say I'm not like in a possible position where you just spur of the moment and it ain't gonna affect you. Yeah. Do you know all big dogs were once puppies? So I mean, everybody got to go through the same process. So I went home and had the money to get the furniture and everything. So I made my mind up. I'm going back, and I said, let's go get it. We go get it. On my way there, the Lord say, don't use your cash. I'm gonna take care of it. Now mind you, Apostle Thompson is my father. He don't like dealing with debt. He'll deal with it, but he don't like dealing with it. So here I am. The Lord said, don't use your money. I'm gonna take care of it. He said, get on credit. So I'm hearing this. So I'm questioning myself. I said, I know the voice of God. I'm hearing it. I said, all right, so just go ahead and do it. Bought the furniture. So every month we're making payments on the furniture, right? 3 months later, they had an opportunity to sow seed came up. The money was there to sow the seed. All right, hold up. So we get to, that's 2016, we get to the middle of this year. My wife went to go to the account to take care of the payment for that month. And it was zero. And it's like $15,000 worth of furniture. It was zero. So me, I'm not. I know there's a balance. And look, what God does for you, you don't have to rush to receive it. If it's yours, it's yours. If God has done something, you ain't got to do no conniving to get it. So we called, Chattel called, come to find out the company went into bankruptcy and they credited us back all our interest. So when they credited back all our interest to her, it wiped out all the principal. So, can you manage? More than can you manage, can you trust God? Now, don't go by getting no debt if God ain't tell you to. That's one thing I hate about preachers. They get stuff and they start building churches and start doing, people start building houses, talking about building and it will come. No, God didn't say that. Kevin Costner said that. Kevin Costner said that in the Field of Dreams. God ain't said that. So being driven in the wilderness is being able to be trained to hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, with your finances. In that, he's trained us to manage our consumption. God wants you to have everything you want. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll do what? He said he'll give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say he'll give you the desires of somebody else's heart. So you can't watch everybody else spend their money. God is faithful. When you receive prosperity demonstrations, if you honor him and say, God, okay, what am I going to do with this? God, I'm not moving till you say something. God, I'm not moving till you say something to me. Now, how can you lose when you begin to walk the process of, I receive a prosperity demonstration, God, what you want me to do? Amen. That can't happen unless you manage your consumption, unless you manage your relationship, until you manage your obedience. Then you can manage your seed. Amen. Because without managing the seed, there could be no harvest. Amen. See, remember now, Adam and Eve, when Jesus died on the cross, he put us back in a formal position. Or he put us back before Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Right? So now when Adam and Eve was leaving the garden, God told them, you're going to work and you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. Right. Everything you're going to earn, you're going to earn by the sweat of your brow. Right. That ain't us no more. Right. Yeah. That's not us. We're redeemed from that. So God wants to do some things in your life that you can't explain, things that you can't work for. But it all goes back to your management. Moreover, it's required that a steward be found faithful, be found trustworthy. When God puts some money in your hands in his earth realm, can he come get it? Or will you have consumed it? Am I making sense? Because see, the money is always coming in your direction. Money always headed towards you. We Christians. Money cometh is the, watch this, money cometh, I'm saying it again, money cometh is the prophetic call, watch this, to wake you up that the stronghold that Satan had on us is no longer there. So now we have to let the Holy Spirit train us how to get the strongholds that we have on ourselves. I don't care where you at. And listen. Jesus say, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, if I define abundant, if I let everybody in here define abundant life in here, guess what? It's going to be different for everybody. So don't let the world system define for you what is abundant life. They always trying to define it for you. If you don't have this car, if you're not living in this neighborhood, if you don't get this college education, that's... It makes no sense. Makes no sense to get in debt for a college education. See, nobody want to deal with that. Why would you pay $50,000 a year for one college when another college would do it for $10,000 a year? Oh, y'all don't want to be real in here. I'm hurting your education now. Now, if God told you go to the school, guess what? He's going to provide the resources. I don't care how much the school costs. If he told you to go, he's going to provide for it. But he have to tell you. I don't care about all this prestigious stuff. Then you pay $200,000 and then they ain't guaranteeing you nothing when you get out. They ain't guaranteeing you nothing but a note. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Manage your consumption. Manage your relationships. Manage your obedience. Then you can manage your seed. See, prosperity demonstrations have happened to you and going to continue to happen to you. But whether you go to the next level or not depends on how you handle the prosperity demonstrations where you at. Can I put numbers to it? If you can't be faithful with $1,000, why is God gonna give you 10? If you can't be faithful with 100, why he gonna give you 1,000? If you can't be faithful with 500, why he gonna give you 5,000? Am I making sense? See. We believe God for certain things, and the money is there. But God, watch this. God said, I cannot release that harvest because you hadn't showed me. I can't trust you with what you got. Because as soon as you get this, you're going to figure you can go buy something else. Money is always headed in your direction. Money is all. Listen to me. You got to hear what I'm saying. Money is always headed in your direction, all the time. Money's heading your direction. But when it get there, what you do? Do you consult God? Do you ask God, God, what you want to do? See, there'll be times where God will give you instructions. He'll tell you, hey, go get that. You might get it on credit. But guess what? If he tell you go get it on credit, he's going to pay it off. I just gave you an example of how he did it. He told the apostle, go get the Falcon 900. Go get it. It's yours. Go get it. Go get it. Got a loan. Supposed to be done in 10 years. Done it in 5. Why? He managed relationships, managed consumption, managed relationship, managed his obedience, which allowed him to manage his seed. If you can manage that seed, you can always receive a harvest. Now, I ain't into all these strategies, and you find out, you find your own. You find all these, I ain't getting all that detail and all these strategies. Though. You find your own. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you find a strategy, find all this. I ain't all that. All I know is you got to manage your consumption. You got to manage your relationship. You got to manage your obedience. You got to manage your seed. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
So as these prosperity demonstrations come, you're going to have to manage those four things, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself in the same level, not progressing, wonder why it ain't working for me. It's simply because I hadn't been faithful where I'm at. Lift your hand and be the offering of the ushers and aisle to serve you. As soon as you get a prosperity demonstration, Satan is going to have a commercial come up at the right time. Now, watch this now. As soon as you get a prosperity demonstration, Satan will cause a commercial to come up at the right time for you to see something. But guess what? It's up to you. Because Satan ain't make you buy. So that you have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God. Now, people all over need to hear that. Because people get excited. But then when the prosperity demonstrations are happening, they find themselves stuck. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I've had some prosperity demonstrations that I did not manage properly. And God said, okay, there's no problem. I'm going to send you another one. I'm going to see what you do with this one. But you ain't getting off this level until you do what you're supposed to do on this level. Apostle prophesied that stuff going to happen to us so quick. No, the prosperity demonstration is coming quick. They come. Money is always headed in your direction. Always. Always. But what I do when it gets you? Man, listen, Jesus had to have some top-notch management skills. He's born, ain't can't utter two words. Stuff starts showing up, right? Then he get to 5,000 people. He multiplying bread and fish. He got to pay tax. Him and Peter got to pay taxes. He gonna tell Peter, now Jesus got money. How we know he got money? Because they brought him money. He had a treasurer. Jesus had that kind of dominion and command over the system that he didn't have to go into his treasury. We have that same dominion where God will do stuff for you and you ain't got to go into your treasury. Can he trust you? Can he trust you that when he comes, you're going to go into the treasury and say, God, I'm going to do this. God, you told me to touch my heart, I'm going to do this. So he can do something for you where you don't need your treasury.
You ready?